You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Tommy G, could you have entered into the tweet contest for Jimmy Fallon, worst first date? Got any competitors?
No, I don't think so. You know what? My worst first dates are meeting up with girls that were nightmares, and there's only a few were my own undoing. I remember one time I went to go meet up with a girl. She wanted me to meet her at a bar she was working at here in town, and she used to be a cheerleader for the local football team. And I was like, oh, yeah, like I need to impress. And I brought my buddy who I played Junior B with. And Greg's, we ended up chewing tobacco and just getting absolutely annihilated in front of her. And the free drinks kept coming, but needless to say, she never called me back after that.
Yeah, I could just see you're talking to her and you got dip all over your teeth, right? Hey, you look really good right now. Yeah. Surprised she didn't find that attractive.
Me too. What a shock. struck out on that one.
anytime you go to meet a girl that's supposed to kind of, although, like if she's working, that can't really be a date, right? Like she obviously expects you to sit there by herself. So.
Right.
I did. Now, here's a true story. One of my cousins, she went on a date. She was 26. And she met a guy, and they met to meet at a restaurant. He brought his parents on the date.
No.
No joke.
Come on.
Yeah. Like, he'd known her for, you know, like, they'd been friends. Like, I think they worked together, if my memory's correct or not. So they'd known each other, but, like, not like that. He brought his parents on the date.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That was the greatest. Oh, man. So, like, I would have just, like, it would have been like the old Abe Simpson. I'd have walked in. Took a look at the table, hat on, I'm walking right back out. Right? 100%.
That's a great gift. Yeah, I don't understand who in their right mind would do that. Like, love my parents.
What parent would do that? Like, what kind of parent's going to think, oh, here I am with my 26, 7-year-old son on a first date. We think it's a good idea if we show up with you.
Oh, that's worse than having a huge top and bottom lipper in your mouth trying to impress a bartender that you're trying to hook up with. That's way worse.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little hockey, Tommy. And the Oilers in Vegas tonight. Mikko Koskinen will go there. There could be some lineup changes. I won't be surprised if Chris Russell potentially draws in, and maybe Benson or Sevier, possibly. We will see. You know, Dave Tippett. Now, usually when Tippett says there's somebody banged up, that means for sure somebody's banged up. That's his code word. I don't want to tell you guys who it is. I'm just telling you there'll be a change. Because last year, every time he said that, we got some bumps and bruises. Without question, there was always a change. So it's just a matter of how many.
Yeah, the great guessing game. I don't recall any incidents off the top of my head where it looked like an Oiler got nicked up or bowled over or anything like that. So maybe there's a lingering issue that is catching up with someone. Greggs, do you remember any particular moment in last night's game where you saw an Oiler get just trounced or anything like that?
I've tried it. Usually it's like a block shot sometimes on someone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Tip uses the, we got bumps and bruises as his code word of, he just wants to make a change, right? So yeah. I don't know if there's actually a guy who, and you know, players, I'll say this, you know, you could have a bump and bruise and maybe they sit someone out because it's a regular season game that would never sit out if it was a playoff game. So I think either way, you know, you've got guys like, you know, Benson hasn't played a game yet. Sevier's only played one. I know Russell's only played one, although I think that has a little bit to do with his neck injury that he had coming to start the season. So I think they'll make some changes. Now, if it's anybody in your top nine, then you know then it becomes a little bit more of a juggle. If it's just your fourth line guys, then you're probably just going to put two in and take two out.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the lineup from last night, and I'm thinking, could it be like a Turris? Perlini looked okay. That line got more ice time. They were around 10 minutes. The lines, too, the distribution of ice time was really even. McDavid only played 15 and a half last night. The CC and Duncan Keith combination logged a lot of minutes. Obviously, Darnell Nurse played a bunch. So it felt like everything was moving and rolling along nicely. An ideal night in Arizona, I thought. So, yeah, maybe we see Cuckoo come out, or I don't know, did Barry take a knock somewhere? I'm guessing you're right. Probably fourth line or maybe third pairing. We shall see.
Well, a few textures. Hey, guys, what about when Puljujärvi got up slow? Yeah, maybe. I do remember that the Big Finn got up, but yeah, he's pretty tough. I would, I don't know. Hopefully not. We'll see who it is. But either way, Vegas is banged up. No Stone, no Pacioretty, no Tuck, and now no Alex Martinez. I don't know if you saw that play, but he crashed hard into the boards on Wednesday night, and now he is out. So they'll bring in another young defenseman on the back end. And it looked like, they might be splitting up their pairings at the top just because of without Martinez. So Haig might move up and play with Pietrangelo. And I look at Edmonton, Vegas, and here's a stat that surprises me. Vegas has allowed the most shots per game and the most 5-on-5 shots per game. They've allowed 4 goals against per game. Like, they're not the defensive stalwart you're used to right now. And Edmonton obviously is going pretty well offensively. They got to continue that and try to get a jump on them early.
That's probably the right game plan. The game against St. Louis the other night, it was run and gun. And both goalies, Binnington and Leonard, had to be really sharp. We're seeing the effects of losing your offensive dynamos in Pacioretty, Stone. Tuck is, I think Tuck's an underrated player. He's an up-and-comer, and that's a big loss for them as well. Mix in Martinez, and now you have deficiencies defensively for the Golden Knights. First of all, you're not getting zone possession time as much as you're used to with their two best offensive players not out there. Yes, throw in Tuck as well in that mix. And then on top of that, one of your more reliable defensemen who has chipped in and contributed offensively in Alec Martinez. And you're leaning on Robin Leonard quite a bit, and he's been excellent for them for the most part. I mean, the Golden Knights looked bad last Thursday against the LA Kings in LA. They got shelled 6-2, and nothing was going right for them. And, you know, they looked a lot better against the Blues, but the Blues ended up winning in a run-and-gun game. And I don't know what that's going to do to the psyche of a Golden Knights team that, quite frankly, has a ton of swagger and has every reason to after what they've done since they've entered the National Hockey League. But if you're the Oilers, you don't look back on last night and go, hey, we had a really nice clean win. It's going to be a cakewalk again. Look at all the guys missing for Vegas. Not a chance. There's still a better opposition than the Arizona Coyotes are, despite all the injuries, and you're going to need to bring it tonight and not get out to a slower start. Arizona, I thought, had a good first period, Gregs, to be honest with you, and Edmonton just kind of took away the game from there on out.
Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. And McDavid's obviously to a ridiculous start for him, 6 goals in 4 games, best goal-scoring start of his career. And you know, we've seen him working on his one-timer. He'd been working on a shot. Like, I remember 2 years ago, before he had that surgery, when he got hit by, when he crashed into the net with Giordano, I remember talking to McDavid probably 2 days before that. And his whole goal that summer was he felt he needed to work on a shot. He wanted to get better at shooting in stride. Kind of like we saw last night, his goal, right? He cuts into the middle, into the low slot, fires it. He said he never really had to do that growing up because he just would skate everything past everybody right into the net. And it's kind of been like the waiting. So we're starting to really see that work that he's put in now for the last few off seasons. It's coming to the forefront. And, you know, he doesn't have a Ovechkin one timer because let's be honest, there's very few guys that do. But man, his shot is becoming more lethal. And it just like 50 goals seems inevitable for 97.
That's fair. Great accuracy from McDavid on that one-timer. And he has been working on it for some time. I know when Rashog brought it up and then, you know, a game later, he scores that one-timer goal. The timing was perfect, obviously, and we all had a good chuckle about that. But this is something that's been a work in progress. It adds another dimension to the power play. It adds another dimension to a very deep game that Connor McDavid possesses already. The wizardry and mastery he showed last night on that first goal was phenomenal. Found the ice, took the ice with a couple of quick steps, and then he does have, he'll probably tell people his shot isn't particularly great, but his wrist shot is deadly accurate, and it actually has some zip and heat on it. Him and Nugent Hopkins, I think, have really nice snap and wrist shots, and we're seeing that. But I think 50 is totally within reason, maybe even pushing 60. He can still skate around everybody and tuck pucks into the net, as we've witnessed him do. Dynamic is something that we hear all the time, and he continues to work on things. And that's the scary part of this hockey player, is that he's never satisfied. And he's like a dog on a bone and always wanting to improve and make himself better. And the team's benefiting, obviously, as well. Greg's another good sign last night and throughout this early season, that third line and its contributions and its play 5-on-5 and then finally chipping in offensively has been fantastic. I'll say that. Just to add to the McDavid and Draisaitl praise that we give them on a daily basis, the third line continues to pump it out, and I like that.
Oh, it's not that they're scoring goals. It's also which goals they're scoring, right? Like they scored the first goal of the game, what is it, 3 times now maybe?
Yeah.
Because Ryan, Cass, yeah, I think they've all scored the first goal of the game. So it's pretty impressive. They do need their second line to get going 5-on-5. Now, I know they switched it up, so it's Draisaitl, but Nuge, Hyman, and Yamamoto, none of them have a goal 5-on-5. And I'm not – Nugent Hopkins does have the one assist on the Cassian goal 5-on-5, but I'm not – Hyman and Nugent Hopkins have played better. But, you know, Yamamoto – did draw that penalty in the third, which was ninth. The game was obviously over at that point, but still, you need to see a little bit more from him.
No question. Matt Cassian kind of put all of that to rest last night pretty quickly, but I mean,
why? What did he say?
Cass's argument, and I understand this, is this is a young guy still figuring it out. He did a little bit of good. You highlighted the drawing of the penalty, but he has to work his way out of this. And if the team continues to win, that creates an opportunity for that. I understand that. Like, what do you want? Do you want a young guy with potential to just completely not be playing and he's a wasted prospect or player? Or do you want him to continue to get opportunities as you're winning and he works his way out of this slump or lack of confidence that he has? While the team is having success. And I think, you know, most people would probably take that second option because it's the better option. But he does need to get it going just for the sake of getting it going. And on top of that, the opportunity that's been presented in front of him for so long now.
Tommy, have yourself a great weekend. It looks like, well, if there was ever a time to assume that your team is going to remain perfect, it would be this weekend. Arizona is at home to Houston. I don't know what the line is, but I think I still might take Arizona. What is the line?
I don't know what the line is. Go with the over. Take Arizona. It's the DeAndre Hopkins revenge game. Look out.
Ooh, revenge game. And he's already got, what has he got? Already got 5 touchdowns. So, yeah, something tells me him and Murray will be wanting to get him a few touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, we got the what time's pregame show coming up?
Right after your show, Greg, 6 o'clock, 2-hour special, and we got Ryan Wallace from the Las Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show hopping on, as well as plenty of audio. Cass will be by, as always, and then Connor's cooking up something a little special, I think, for the end. Hopefully it comes to fruition.
All right, perfect. Have a good weekend.
You too, Greg.